permission to be great is granted with Joan Kling. And this is episode 27 on Maiella Manassian's Tiny Climate Challenge podcast.
I'm Maiella Manassian, your host on the Tiny Climate Challenge podcast. This is a podcast for busy people who want to save the planet by completing one simple eco challenge at a time. Let's do this. Please visit tinyclimate.com to access all episodes, show notes, freely subscribe, and contact us. Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible, possible. Hi, everyone. My name's Maiella Manassian, and I'm your host of Tiny Climate Challenge. The topic of our podcast today is all about leadership and synchronicity of self. And I am super excited to introduce you to my guest expert, Joan Kling. She's here to talk to all of us about this wonderful, important topic.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to do this work?
Joan Kling is my name, and I am a coach, a trainer, a facilitator, and I specialize in first-time supervisors, managers, executives, first-time leaders. And so I developed a system that I call PIES, which we'll talk about throughout our show today. And I've wanted to be a coach, really, like in third grade, true story. In third grade, we would come home for lunch, and there was this woman named Marcia Rose. She was a TV news reporter in Philadelphia, I think on Channel 3 at the time. Come to find out now, she was like one of the first females ever to be on like network TV, or it was just local TV. And I would just go, wow, I want to be her when I grow up. So I'm a little bit of a ham, so I love talking to people, and I love helping people. Then probably 20 years ago, when I heard the word coach, I just thought that was it. That's what I want to do. As I got older, the less and less I really wanted to be a TV news reporter. And I'm really glad some of my wishes and prayers do not get answered. That's it. I feel like it's a calling. And when I'm coaching, when I'm working with someone one-on-one or in groups, I do group coaching. The only way I can describe it is I'm in touch with the divine. I'm just a channel. I say things and feel things that just are not of me. Like, I don't know. I can't really tell you where they're coming from, but it's like an out-of-body experience. It's a fantastic thing. And people get great results.
I love that about you. And frankly, that's why I'm so thrilled to have you here today to share what you do and what you're passionate about with all of our listeners, because that's how I met you. Mm-hmm. I was at a point in my career where I was ready to take the next leap, but I didn't know what that next leap was going to lead me to. And you were just a ray of light in the office. So Joan and I worked together. We met working for local government. And I would just see her in the office every day, just radiating. And I was like, what Kool-Aid did this woman drink? Because I need to go find that in the vending machine. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, you were in a leadership program, mm-hmm, at University of San Diego. Wow. I felt like it really did wonders for you and for morale and for working relationships, just for making forward progress in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so I always appreciated that about you. And of course, we got to talking about the program that you were in. And then a couple years later, I followed in your footsteps.
In the program, and that's basically how I run my coaching and training, is that all leadership starts with self. And so that's what I consider my expertise, self-leadership, as opposed to team or group leadership. So you have to know yourself before you can lead other people. And that's what we started out with. We started out with learning about ourselves. We used the DISC profile a lot. We did situational leadership. And then we moved on to teams. And then we moved on to leadership of organizations. That's how the program went over 2 years.
That's really good. I forgot all that. Just kidding. No, but I'm impressed that you remember that, all that. Yes, the opening, the beginning of our program was intense. I found intense. Uh-huh. You know, when you're taking this deeper dive and this look, mm-hmm. this hard look at yourself, mm-hmm. and what your strengths are, your perceived strengths, you know, you learn new ones along the way, but then also what your blind spots are, mm-hmm. and how to work with those. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that part of the program.
I did too.
More than the accounting and courses.
And statistics, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It was the first time I had ever had a 360 done on me or for me or whatever you would say. And so it was interesting to see the results.
Yeah.
And one of the things that it said that I was weak in or could use help in was dealing with ambiguity. That was true. That was definitely right on. And I've worked on that a lot. But I still, especially, I'm from Philadelphia, so people back east, we talk really we just go A, B. We don't go like A, F, then B, then G, and you know, it's just clear communication. So I had to really, learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Because mm-hmm. I tend to ask a lot of questions, which can get on people's nerves. Mm. And, but I just really need to understand, where are you coming from? Why are you saying that? Where did you get that from? So I had to start not having to have all the answers.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I'm more of a timid person and I have a lot of questions, but I've always been too afraid to ask. So I love it when people like you are in my classes because you ask all the questions and then I just get to write down all the answers. Uh-huh. But yeah, there are some people who are like, oh my God, like, why is she asking another question? Mm-hmm. Like, enough mm-hmm. already. So yeah, there's those types as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do very much appreciate you and your Philly way of being. Joan and I were having a conversation before we started recording today, and I mentioned to her that I feel like Philly folks are just so straightforward. And they just tell it like it is. And so there is no real ambiguity there, mm-hmm. Which I certainly, it's an honesty, you know, that you Philly folks have about yourselves that I appreciate. So thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a double-edged sword because I get that all the time. People say the thing I love about you the most is that you're just so authentic and so genuine. And I just know you're always going to tell the truth. And it's the exact same thing that gets me in trouble in, you know, when I worked for someone else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we need to learn to work on because we're not all perfect. Mm-hmm. And we're striving to be better. But I think we need to be open to criticisms constructively, you know, and we need to find ways to work with each other. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything that this program taught me, it was specifically that, you know, situational leadership. I use that every single day mm-hmm. of my life, whether it's with my own family, like my daughter, or my employees. I think that has just been a real gift.
Actually. Oh yeah, totally.
You know, and it's about recognizing your role and your responsibility. And the situation, it's change day by day. And so we can't continue to lead folks the way that we would have even just yesterday because things are continuously changing. And we've learned that during these COVID times too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I think that's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for doing all the research on that program because when I met you, I just knew. I'll have what she's having, and that settled that for me. I mean, I knew I had to stay in San Diego, mm-hmm. so it kind of narrowed my choices down. But as an environmental scientist, I wasn't necessarily convinced that I wanted to do a master's program that was research-based, that was science-based. I felt like I had it had run its course and I had done all I could do. And I was looking to find ways to not only improve my craft and what I do, but my life. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I feel like MSEL was extremely helpful.
Extremely helpful.
And rewarding.
Oh, so rewarding.
Yeah.
So rewarding. Yeah.
some of you folks might be wondering, like, why are we talking about leadership on an environmental podcast? Which is precisely why I was so excited that A, you came to visit during COVID times, but B, that we get to do this podcast together, because I think leadership is key in any area of our lives. Obviously, when there's a lack of leadership, I think is when we notice it most. And we're not going to get into any political discussions here, mm-hmm. but when there's an absence of leadership, people definitely realize it. But also, people do recognize true leadership as well. And I think the one thing that I want to make sure I point out here is that everybody is a leader. I teach leadership workshops. Joan certainly does. She's got a fantastic business. What's the name of your business?
Lead in Place.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And she's always telling me, she's always giving permission to be great is granted. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. Mm-hmm. So I think we're all leaders. You know, it's always surprising to me how many people don't recognize themselves as mm-hmm. leaders. But if you are a parent, you're most definitely a leader. Your kids are looking up to you. Your spouse is looking to you, your partner. You know, a lot of us are leaders in our community, in our churches. There's opportunities to lead in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And as myself, as an environmental activist, there's, you know, many opportunities to lead in place. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Could I tell you a little bit about my PIES?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so I developed a coaching philosophy, which I call PIES. P-I-E-S, and the P stands for permission to be great is granted. That used to be my tagline on my website. It still might be, but permission to be great is granted. And I got that idea from a bunch of different things, but especially from that one quote by Marianne Williamson where she says, you know, like you playing small does not serve the world. And that the more you embrace your greatness, these are my words, not hers, it lets other people shine their own lights. And so I believe in that 100%, that we have been raised most of the time by very well-meaning people, but told no a lot and don't. Like I said, I have always asked a lot of questions, so I kind of bugged people, so it was like, don't speak until you're spoken to. Basically, Joan, you're just too much. Settle down. Like, just so many don'ts that eventually what you hear is, don't be you. Mm. And that certainly was not their intention. But then if I can't be crazy and wild like I am, you know, probably had ADD before they even knew what ADD was. So that's the P. The I is imperfection is encouraged, because as a leader, so basically permission to be great, permission for you to step up into that role. All right. And I'm going to give all your listeners the clue on how to move up in an organization or to get into the next level. And this is a formula. I invented. So pay attention closely. Keep applying and don't die. Like, just keep applying, keep applying, keep applying. And don't worry if you have if you can check every box on that application. Just if you can check a couple boxes, send that application in.
Yeah, can we talk about that actually for a second? Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. This is key because I mentor a lot of young professional women. There's actually a study on this. Mm-hmm. With women, what happens is when we see job announcements, we notice that we maybe don't have 100% of the requirements, and so we won't apply or we don't apply. And when men see these same job announcements, they'll also notice that they may not have 100% of the requirements, but they apply and they end up getting the jobs. So hopefully these things are starting to change now, but I always encourage the young women that I mentor, like, don't let that stop you. You know, keep at it. You're doing great.
Well, you know, the way I heard that story was that, you know, the way I heard that story was that if there's a job application and it has five requirements and a woman will read it and she'll be missing one of them, so she won't apply. And a man will only have one of them and he'll apply.
Yes.
And of course, that's a very broad generalization.
Right.
You know, I'm sure it's not true in all situations. But the point of that we're making, you don't know what the applicant pool is.
True.
And you don't know what they're looking for. So just Just apply.
Yeah, keep at it. I think that's great. And I will actually pull up the article and I'll share it as a link.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so that folks can read that article for themselves.
Okay.
Or that research.
Okay, perfect.
Hopefully things are changing, you know. I mean, they are changing. They're getting better. We're working on it. It's a discussion that we've been having nationally, I would say, since Me Too, actually. You know, how we treat women in the workplace. We've also, with the whole discussion on, you know, diversity, inclusion, equity, and justice. And I think, quite frankly, it's a big reason why I, and I'm, and maybe I'm speaking for you here too, but why we were drawn to the MSEL program is we're not seeing a lot of women in those top jobs. Many women are well qualified to be in those top jobs, but we need to be the change that we want to see in the world.
You and I have spent most of our life working for the government, local governments, and
I'm still recovering, by the way.
There's a lot that people say negatively about government and government workers. But I'll tell you, I feel proud that in all the jurisdictions I've worked for, and I'm not saying they did it perfectly, but we have been on the forefront of diversity. We've been doing attempts at diversity and inclusion for a long time. We're now, the private sector is kind of catching up to us. So we have standards on all kinds of things, but okay. So I is imperfection is encouraged. One of the qualities of a really good leader is that they're willing to make a mistake. Sometimes a leader just takes an action, is the first one to take an action. And then maybe the second person's like, no, that's not going to work. This is how you do it. But at least we got up and started doing something, and we're going to fail. I mean, one quote that I really like is Michael Jordan said, you're going to miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
And then if you find yourself in a situation where imperfection is not encouraged.
Yeah, I'm glad you, okay, good. I definitely wanted to talk about that.
Well, I always tell people there's three things you can do. Accept it, change it, or leave it. Can you accept it? Because Mayel and I worked in an environment with difficult bosses, to say the least. And it was unacceptable. So that's clear. It's unacceptable. That one sometimes can be easy. So accept a change or leave it. Can I change it? It's not looking good. It's not looking good because we tried this, we tried this, we tried this. I stood on my head, you know, whatever.
Yes, I tried a million ways to Sunday to to work through this challenging relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I just want to say that acceptance is different than tolerating. If you can get on like a cellular level, like, okay, this is acceptable to me. If you can't, if you're just tolerating it, you could be causing cancer, which I did get cancer during this time that we had.
That's
of the
right.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not blaming my cancer on any one person, but it was just.
Well, that stress.
Oh, my God.
Make you sick.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. And then let's be honest about leaving it. Many of us can't leave it. We need the job. We need the insurance. It's close to our childcare. It's close to our kids' school. It's what, for whatever reason, we can't leave it. So now what are you going to do? So I tell the people that I coach that the only way then to survive it is to enlarge your spiritual life. And what I mean by that is to, like, if you just drew a circle on your page, no matter how big your circle is, and you put a dot in the middle, then the dot is your work. And then the area, the blank area between the dot and the end of the circle is your spiritual life. Fill that up with what brings you joy and what feeds your spirit. Okay, keep it in mind that that's hard to do when you're in this intolerable situation. And so that goes back to self-leadership.
I just want to share with folks who are in that situation, because I was in that situation myself. I started to look for things outside of work that brought me joy and created meaning in my life. And for me, I'm very passionate about my environmental activism. And so I started to get involved with nonprofit groups to provide them with my expertise, to share my expertise with them. Because, you know, a lot of times these groups are made up of concerned citizens, but they don't always have the full knowledge or understanding of how things work inside local government at City Hall, where the decision makers are creating policies or laws that affect the things that they care about. So I felt like I was that really important bridge between the two. And so what I found myself doing was getting more and more involved with these groups on my own time outside of work. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, quite frankly, that's what saved me. Mm-hmm. It's what mm-hmm. saved me, and it's what actually got me out of feeling like I was stuck in a rut and that, you know, I was going to die in that job forever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've talked about my role working in local government. I did it for 20 years, and there were many special moments along the way, and I have no regrets whatsoever. So for anybody mm-hmm. who's interested in going to work in the public sector, it is a very rewarding career.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I would highly encourage you to look into it, but just don't feel like you have to get stuck in any mm-hmm. situation that is mm-hmm. not helping you to grow, or I guess they do help us to grow, but is, you know, that is stressful or is not bringing you joy. Someone once told me that, like, your worst boss is actually your best teacher. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I did learn. It was painful, but mm-hmm. I did mm-hmm. learn a lot about myself and my boss in the process.
Yeah, someone told me once that people come into your life to teach you how to be, and some people come into your life to teach you how not to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a great lesson on how not to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Imperfection is encouraged, to sum it up, is just keep trying. Just get up one more time, then you fall down. And keep trying.
Yeah, that's good.
And, like, there really isn't. What is perfection? So a woman that you and I studied under also, it's another thing we have in common, is Dr. Pat Allen. And she says, shoot for excellence, not perfection. Shoot for excellence. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course you're going to do good work. You're going to do excellent work. But you are going to be... make mistakes. Like, I had a boss one time, a different city that I worked for, and I would put like a 10-page report together, and he would just like hand it back and say, you forgot a comma right here, you're missing a comma, and it just deflated me.
And he wouldn't say great work otherwise.
Nope. That's the thing. Like, I think most people can talk about bad bosses, and very few people can come up with really good bosses.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I said, you know, leadership matters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, we take it for granted and we don't really notice it until it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it's so important that we all step up in whatever roles we're playing in our lives.
Mm-hmm. And back to my chart, E stands for eyes on self, which means that, especially since I deal with first-time supervisors and managers, sometimes it can be a lonely road. You're no longer one of the
cool kids.
The cool kids, yeah. All I could think of was one of the guys, and I didn't want to say that. But
no, we love our guys.
Mm-hmm. And you're just often caught between a rock and a hard place, because you're trying to please the people above you. You're trying to please the people below you, and it's a difficult place to be in. So to not compare yourself to she or he is doing so much better. Their staff is doing better than I am. They get to do more presentations than I do, whatever it is, eyes on self. What are the things that you need to work on, and work on those, and get some help on how to figure out what those things are, where you are and where you want to be.
So say, you know, okay, you definitely want to take this step, but you don't have a leadership coach or mentor like Joan here mm-hmm. in our lives that you can reach out to. What do you suggest for people?
We are living in the world. We're living in the future, basically, with all the technology that we have. You know, when I was a kid, we had to walk to the library. It seemed so far away. It was probably about a mile, but still, that's far as a child. And the reference books, you couldn't even check out. They would be like one copy of one of every book. And now we can just go online, and TED Talks, TEDx. There's this company called Udemy that has really low-cost classes.
I've never heard of them.
It's spelled U-D-E-M-Y.
Okay.
Podcasts. Yeah. I mean, just educate yourself. Even if you don't have money, if you have internet, you could take all kinds of free classes and listen to podcasts and read books that you can get from the library for free if mm-hmm. you don't have the money. And you can also listen to audiobooks from the library for free.
Are there any leaders out there whose talks are readily available that you recommend, and or books?
Two of my most favorite books that I would say that we used in the Masters in Executive Leadership program are What Got You Here Won't Get You There.
I love that book by Marshall Goldsmith.
Marshall Goldsmith, mm-hmm. San Diego guy. He says that basically stop putting things, these are my words, not his, stop putting things in your basket, start taking things out of your basket that are no longer serving you. So I kind of talked about it, about me asking a lot of questions. People don't like to be asked questions in public if they don't know the answer to them.
Mm-hmm.
They have different levels of self, I guess. Because if you asked me a question in front of a bunch of people and I didn't know the answer, I would just say, hey, I don't know. I mean, I just know what I know.
Right.
But some people, when you're in front of other people and they have to say, I don't know, they're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And they have taken it out on me because I was the one who asked the question.
Yeah, it's hard to put yourself out there sometimes when you don't. I mean, none of us have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to recognize that first off.
Mm-hmm.
But for some of us, it is particularly hard. And I will say, again, from my being an environmental activist, a climate activist, you know, I have to get out there. I don't have to, but I choose to get out there and do a lot of presentations. Well, I'm not a climate scientist. I have a bachelor's degree in environmental science, but that doesn't make me an expert by any means. And the science is changing so rapidly in addition to that. So I know about as much as I need to know to offer a presentation to folks, but if you ask me any specific details, I wouldn't be able to give you an answer. I mean, maybe. I can make something up for sure, but you know, I want to give people factual information. So I always let folks know that I'll look into that and I'll get back to them. Because mm-hmm. I guess here's the other thing, is that when we put ourselves out there in a way that, feels vulnerable for ourselves, we're actually growing and we're learning something from that experience. And so that's, for me, because I'm a lifelong learner, that is actually what excites me about putting myself out in situations that I might otherwise feel really uncomfortable being in, is just knowing that, okay, I might not have all the answers and I might get put on the spot, but I'm going to learn something from this experience.
Mm-hmm. For your listeners, I spent most of my time in government work in code enforcement, which is enforcing private property regulations, building planning, land use codes. Mostly neighbors complain about each other. And so one of the things that I've learned from doing that for so many years is that to be more resilient, to be more like, how important is this? You know, it's not police work. No one's getting killed. No one's getting, there's not a house on fire. It's just someone's car parked on the front lawn. Okay, so my last letter is S for support system creation, and that I just really believe in that one quote, no man is an island, that we are social creatures. Human beings are social creatures meant to run in packs and to have friends and physical and emotional connection. So it kind of relates to the question that you were saying, if someone didn't have a mentor or if someone didn't have a coach, you can often look at someone that's ahead on the track that you want to be on.
Yes, yeah.
And just ask them. And most people, 90% of people just love talking about themselves. So it would be an honor if you went up to someone and say, hey, could I meet with you once a month for coffee? To just kind of review, like, am I on the right trajectory to ever be in your position?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of free help out there. Just have to keep looking for it. Just keep Googling it. Different search. Follow that search. Call people. Ask people. Librarians are great help on where you can get free help. Don't give up. Keep applying and don't die.
Well, you were my angel in the workplace because I said, she's just radiating over here. I thought, I need to learn what this is about. But beyond that, what I love about you is that you weren't just willing to share with me like, well, these are all the great things that I'm doing. But you found a way to help uplift and empower everyone that worked with you and around you. And that, I think, is a real special quality that not everybody has. Like, oh, there's a lot of great people doing great things in the world, but they're not always willing to lift everyone up
mm-hmm.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I fully appreciated about you. And so that's what I would suggest to my listeners, is find those people
mm-hmm.
that you admire and that are willing to help you beyond just, tell you, like, well, this is how I got there. Mm-hmm. I try to be that person to the folks that I know in my life, because I don't feel like there's that many of us out there. Mm-hmm. And maybe they are, and I just haven't come across all of you. I hope we're all out there. But mm-hmm. In any case, I just thank you for being such a force for good in the world and such an inspiration to me.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Force for the good.
Yeah.
And get in good trouble.
That's right.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I always used to say necessary trouble. Then I guess I was misquoting our dear Congressman mm-hmm. John Lewis here. It's mm-hmm. good trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. So remind us again, the S is for...
Support system creation.
Yes.
Or support community, whichever one. Just yeah. get into like a pack. Find a tribe. I say this, find a tribe or create one.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't have a support system, my goodness gracious, you can go on Facebook. You can go on meetups. You can create your own meetup. You can create your own Facebook. A lot of this stuff doesn't cost any money at all.
Yeah.
For you to just get together with like-minded people.
Yeah. I have a great example of this, by the way. So I was working inside City Hall and, you know, just getting crankier and crankier every day and said, I need to do something to change my life. So obviously, you know, inspired by Joan and folks like her, but I met a gentleman who was on our environmental sustainability, our environmental commission,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he had a real interest, and we're still friends to this day, like really good friends. But he obviously, you know, we were connected and that we were both passionate about making a difference at the city. But he didn't work inside City Hall, and so he didn't have a full understanding of the personalities, the office politics, you know, like kind of what it took to like push things through. So in any case, we got together one day and then we started to talk about people that we knew that we could enlist, that could join our cause. And he said, do you happen to know Ashley Mazanek? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, I can't believe you don't know her. And I thought, yeah, I can't believe it either, because I, you know, at this point had been in, you know, the environmental arena for 15 years or so and felt like I pretty much knew most everyone. So turns out she's just talk about a force for good. Here's another one. She's an eco musician. She's an activist. I mean, she did the intro song to my podcast.
Really?
Yeah. It's her song called Possible. But in any case, so he said, we should all get together and go to lunch. So I thought, yeah, sure. Like it's lunch. And so we sat down and we just hit it off immediately from the get-go. So we sat and we were talking about, well, like what could we do to make a difference? You know, there's the three of us now invested in this. And so we decided right then and there, we co-founded the Eco Sustainability Professionals. Although Ashley being younger than all of us, being the millennial of the group, she calls us the Eco Sustainability Peeps, which was great until we decided that we wanted to become a little bit more recognized regionally and that we needed to have a more professional sounding name. But in any case, we have grown to over 100 members.
Really?
Yes. And all we do is we meet every 2 weeks for lunch. And now during COVID times, you know, our lunches have moved to being online. But we would go to different restaurants around Encinitas and we would always say, invite anybody who cares about the environment. So there was no, you know, anybody could be a member of the Eco Sustainability Peeps. And you didn't have to pay anything to be a member. There were no prerequisites. If you had an interest in the environment, you cared and you wanted to make a difference, you were in. And you can invite any friends that you chose to. All you had to do was show up at the day and time of the lunch and pay for your own lunch. But otherwise, it was just a bunch of environmentalists hanging out, trying to figure out, you know, how we can make the world a better place. And so I think, you know, I would highly recommend that for anybody. And if you work in local government, especially for me, it was so interesting because I got to hear firsthand what the community cared about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We spend so much time, and I'm sure you remember this, Joan, in local government doing surveys, public engagement, trying to find ways to get people mm-hmm. to give us feedback about what they care or don't care about. And this was one of the simplest and easiest ways I found personally, you know, was just to get out there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, break bread, have lunch.
Breaking bread, like, just reveals, you know, gets you so many places. But yeah, because we ask the public, you know, we have council meetings, we have budget meetings, and nobody really comes. Nobody gets involved with their local government or goes to the council meetings. We put out all these surveys and hardly anyone answers them. So then we're basing policy and procedures on a very small minority of people that responded to the survey. So yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic. I love your pies. Do they come in different flavors? Like, can I order a lemon meringue one?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yes. Yes, we can.
That's great. You made me hungry now. I was talking about, we just had lunch, but now, but talking about pies, like I'm like, I want dessert. I want
exactly.
something sweet now.
Exactly. That's interesting though. I could have one, like permission to be great is granted is like a pecan pie. And I'd have to find one for each letter.
Yeah. Why not?
Strawberry.
Like each slice of the pie.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Right now I have, I've been working with this woman named Melinda Walker of One Squiggly Line, and she does visual art. Mm-hmm. And so if you go on my LinkedIn, you'll see she has a couple things on there that she did for me. I talk and she draws.
I love it. She does a fantastic job. It's so fun.
It's amazing. So she put together this pie for me based on questions that she asked me and about my website. And basically, they're the color of the ocean. Like the ocean, I just find, Mayel and I just took a walk on the Coronado Beach.
Yes.
And I just love the different colors of the ocean. The blue, the dark blue, the green, the darker green, the lighter green. And so they are the colors of my pies.
Oh, that's awesome.
I can give you one to put on... to put with the website so you can say it. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
So each slice is a different color.
So I so appreciate you swinging by and sharing this with all of us. Are there any final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners?
Be gentle with yourself. Be kind. And to walk into the light instead of the shadow.
I think that's great.
I think being in the shadow is very safe and it can be very comfortable. Being in the light is a little bit scarier. And once you put yourself out there, once you either say you're a leader or someone else says you're a leader, you're going to get criticism. Mm. Life is too short to play it safe. That's just my philosophy.
I totally agree. And we talked, I mentioned this earlier that, you know, I was always that timid person, but I started this podcast not because I fancy myself to be a great public speaker. I mean, I strive to get better at it, and I am getting better at it. But I felt like our climate crisis was so important that I could no longer stand by and be silent about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had to give myself permission to get out there and to make mistakes and, you know, fumbles along the way. But I've learned so much, and I just so appreciate you. You are the light in the darkness.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are the light of my life.
I feel like there's a song. You light up my life.
Yes. Yeah. You always do. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to share this quote. Ken Blanchard is the... he founded our program. He's also a business, I would say, and a business management guru and a best-selling author. But he also founded our program, and he has this quote that I keep on my desktop. And when I worked at in an office at City Hall, I had it on my I had it pinned to my wall, and it was near my computer. And so I made sure it was something that I read quite often, just to remind myself of why I was there. And we didn't really talk too much about what servant leadership means, but I feel like this quote captures it. So he says, "I think people want to be magnificent. It is the job of the leader to bring out that magnificence in people and to create an environment where they feel safe and supported and ready to do the best job possible in accomplishing key goals. This responsibility is a sacred trust that should not be violated. The opportunity to guide others to their fullest potential is an honor and one that should not be taken lightly. As leaders, we hold the lives of others in our hands, and these hands need to be gentle and caring and always available for support."
Beautiful.
So thank you for your gentle and caring and supportive hands. I've been touched by them, and I just feel so blessed.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So with that, what should we challenge our listeners with?
I'm going to challenge people on my S, support system or support community creation. So my challenge is find a tribe or create one.
Excellent. I think that's a fantastic challenge. Mm-hmm. All right. And so most of my listeners are, you know, from the environmental realm, but that's not to say if you're not an environmental activist and you're listening in, you can do this. Anyone, mm-hmm. anybody can do this challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to find your challenger out there and to have them come in the studio and share with us what they've decided to do. But thank you so much for coming in today and inspiring all of us.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I'm so glad that we've been talking about doing this, and I'm glad that it came together mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. spontaneously.
Spontaneously.
Yes. All right, here we go. So this is our speed round. just because we're having so much fun today. Joan, what's your favorite pie?
Well, it coincidentally does go with the first letter of my pies, P, but I'm going to go with a pumpkin pie.
Ooh, those are delicious.
Close second is going to be peach, fresh, not frozen.
Yes. No, it's got to be fresh. Mm-hmm. And do you like to eat pumpkin pie when it's not Thanksgiving or the fall? Like, is it a year-round pie for you?
I don't think I've ever had it unless it was in the fall. I think that's a code violation.
Could be. Okay, moving on. Least favorite pie.
Frozen pie. Frozen and any kind. They're just like, they don't have enough filling. Or store-bought. Frozen or store-bought pie is not good.
Wow, okay. All right, so don't ever invite her over with a store-bought pie.
Don't bring
pie.
A store-bought pie.
Yeah, no store-bought pies to her potluck.
Exactly. If we ever have a potluck again, do not bring store-bought pie. Well, you can. I just won't eat it.
Okay. It's your birthday. Would you rather have cake or pie?
Cake.
Really? I thought you were going to say pie.
No, cake.
Okay.
When I was growing up, I had three brothers and three sisters, so there were seven of us. And on your birthday, you could have whatever kind of cake you wanted. And I always chose chocolate cake with marshmallow icing.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Mm-hmm. That sounds decadent.
Mm-hmm. So that's like a special thing.
You know, some people are trying to start a movement, a birthday pie movement.
A birthday pie movement?
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah. Do you celebrate Pi Day?
I want to tell you that I have. I have stood in line for like an hour. $3.14. I stood in line at like Blaze or one of those places where you go down and you kind of like Subway, you tell them what you want to put on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I did it one time. I did Pie Day one time with a pizza pie.
That's another kind of pie that I think a lot of people don't think about. Yeah. So it's a national holiday here in the United States. It's March 14th. What's your favorite pie that you like to make?
Apple.
Mm. Any specific kind of apple?
My mom always used Macintosh.
Really? I've never had a Macintosh apple. I mean, I have a computer Macintosh apple.
They are, they're sweeter. A lot of people use a green apple or Granny Smith.
Yeah.
And this is a sweeter apple and more juicy.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the best kind of pie crust?
Oh my God, my mom's pie crust, without a doubt, when I was growing up. She made it from scratch with lard. However, mm-hmm. have you ever been to Quattro Milpas?
No.
Oh my gosh.
It's not too far from here, though.
No.
Should we go for dinner?
Yes.
Okay.
They make their own. So it's a Mexican restaurant. It's been there like 40, 50 years. They make their own flour tortillas.
Oh, yeah.
And I swear to you, you could put one of those. Yeah. You could put one of those flour tortillas in the bottom. Put some apples on it, put another one on top, and you can make, because those tortillas are the best. So, and they have lard in them, and yes. my mom's crust had lard in them. No, I buy like Pillsbury roll out.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't buy the frozen if I were to do it. I think the one that rolls out is much more authentic.
Yeah.
And tastes like a real crust.
I made a pie here. And I can't even remember what flavor pie it was. But the only reason why I remember making the pie is because I didn't have a pin roller.
Oh, uh-huh.
I had to use a wine bottle. But it turned out just fine.
That's improvising.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's resilience.
Have you ever thrown a pie at someone?
No.
Is there anyone you'd ever like to throw a pie at?
It's such a waste. I just don't even think I could throw a pie at someone. I would much rather eat it.
So, has anyone ever smashed your face in a pie?
Not that I'm aware of.
Maybe in their fantasies.
Totally. I don't think anyone would want to smash my face with a pie. I think they would rather like slap it or punch me in the mouth or something. Yeah.
In your pie hole?
In my pie hole, yeah.
Have you ever been in a pie eating contest?
You know, I don't have a good memory, so I'm going to say no. However, my undergrad is in journalism, and I worked for this small newspaper in Riverside County for a while, and we were invited to a grape stomping contest. Like Lucy, did you ever see the episode of Lucy and Ethel where they're stomping the grapes?
Such a fun episode.
I did that.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so not related at all to your question, but that's what came up to my mind.
All right, well, I'd say you passed the speed round.
Okay, yay.
Congratulations.
And what's my prize?
You get a homemade pie when I make it.
With just a little bit of glass and red wine.
Okay.
In it.
Sure.
Yeah, since you don't have the roller.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Well, you know, you got to improvise, like you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, lots of fun.
That was really
Thanks.
Fun. Okay, bye.
Bye. I'm your host, Myla Manassian, Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, or you can find me at tinyclimate.com. Remember that small changes can lead to big results in ensuring a tiny climate. Sending you all lots of eco love. Stay safe and take care.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible.